Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
FIFA chief Gianni Infantino is among those reacting to the election of Ahmad from Madagascar as the new president of CAF, African football's governing body. Ahmad ousted Issa Hayatou, whose 29-year tenure in charge of CAF ended. For a sampling of reaction from Infantino and others, here's reporter Samson Omale.
FIFA President Gianni Infantino, while congratulating the new elected president, also had some kind words for Issa Hayatou.
New president elected, so what we have to do is to congratulate the new president, congratulate Mr. Ahmad for his election, for his brilliant election today, and of course to thank and recognize all the great work that Mr. Hayatou did in CAF and for African football since his presidency.
He debunked the insinuation that he influenced the choice of the new CAF president.
It's the African Association's Congress and the African Associations who decide. It's a democratic process. They have the right to decide by themselves what they want. The FIFA president has to work with any president, any council member who is elected by a Congress of any confederation. So that's what happened. To try to say something else is, I think, even an insult on the intelligence of the member associations who are big enough to take their own decisions.
Ahmed, campaign director and Zimbabwe Football Association president Philip Chinyangwa said the election of Ahmed marks the beginning for change for African Football Administration.
I feel elated. I'm very happy. And, you know, we have destroyed the emperor. So, you know, like I told people before, you know, when I start fighting, I don't stop. And you can see the results. Africa must be happy. It's liberated now. I'm the most excited African on the African continent.
Hassan Musa Bliti is Liberian FA president.
I'm excited by what has happened, and I'm proud that Africans have proven to the world that we too are ready for change. Change, direct leadership, consultation, more participation by member associations, and to take decisions that would directly benefit us. I saw it coming. Even this morning, I saw it coming.
Isha Johansson, Sierra Leonean football chairperson, who was also elected into the CAF executive committee, said with a change in the leadership of African football, it will come with new possibilities and new openings.
It means that we are open to change. It means that we're open to positive change. With a change comes new possibilities and new openings. You only come about a change if you're not happy with the current situation.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We're looking forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. And this nomadic travel tidbit, my VOA colleague Heather Maxwell is currently in Morocco, where she's attending the International Festival of the Nomads. The annual open-air festival features local, regional, national, and international artists like Heather, who are invited to take to the stage to perform poetry, storytelling, music, dance, and song. And speaking of song, here's a tune that Heather did with Kenyan singer Winyo called Abiro.
They saw my sherry passing through Nairobi. They saw my baby passing through Nakuru. Ooh, my traveling fool. Yeah.
That's Kenyan singer Winyo and my Voice of America colleague Heather Maxwell with their song Abiro. The U.S. men's national soccer team will begin a training camp Sunday in San Jose, California, where the Americans will prepare for crucial 2018 World Cup qualifying matches against Honduras and Panama. The USA will host Honduras March 24th in San Jose. And then 4 days later, on March 28th, the U.S. team will play Panama in Panama City. During a Facebook live chat, the USA's head coach, Bruce Arena, talked about his team and answered questions from U.S. soccer fans. One fan asked Coach Arena about the injury status of Newcastle United player DeAndre Yedlin.
DeAndre was in L.A. this past week, examined by our team doctors, and we realized that he's not going to be able to go for these two matches against Honduras and Panama. Likely that he'll be out about 5 weeks, so I would expect that he'll be back on the field for Newcastle right at the end of this season, towards the end of April. The next question. Steve asked if you think Kellen Acosta is still an option at outside back. He is an option there. If we run into some problems, that's a possibility, but Kellen is a central midfielder and likely playing in a number six or a number eight role. Next question. Jan asks, what's the key for you to keep the guys relaxed, knowing how crucial 3 points are against Honduras? Well, I think the week of training is important. We've done a lot of legwork before we even enter this camp and have talked with the players. I think they're going to be confident, they're going to be aggressive, and they're going to be as relaxed as you can be in games like this, which are crucial. This is a very important game for the U.S. team. We need to win the game. There's certainly going to be some tension and pressure, but that's all part of it. We have elite athletes, and they're accustomed to playing in games like this, so I'm confident they'll show up and be in the right kind of frame of mind to be ready to play and perform well. Next question. Logan asks about what you expect from the crowd in San Jose. We selected San Jose because we think it's a great venue. It's a beautiful stadium. The San Jose Earthquake have had a great following there. Our women's national team has played there with a great following. And we think on the 24th, we're going to have simply an outstanding crowd supporting the U.S. team. So I think it's a great venue, and it's going to position us to play well and win the game. Tyler wants to know if you have an update on Giassi Zardes. Giassi was injured at the end of our camp in January and has started training again with the L.A. Galaxy. I expect him to play this weekend for the Galaxy, or if not this week, in the following game. And he'll be back, and I would think part of our squad in June. So a healthy Giassi is good news for the LA Galaxy and certainly for the national team down the road. Next question. Matt wants to know what went into your decision to select Dax McCarty. I've known Dax for a number of years. I think he's a very good player. Saw him up close in our camp in January. He played well. He's experienced. He communicates well. He fits in well with the group, and watching him play in his first two games with Chicago convinced me that he can be a player that can be an important part of our squad. Next question. How important are these two games, and how critically is it important for the U.S. to get points? Well, there's no question about it. If you put pencil to paper here, we go nowhere unless we come out of these games with points. And by that, I mean 3 points or more. And my goal is to get six. We need to get three in the Honduras game, and we need to go to Panama and be aggressive and get at least a point. Next question here. Jeff asks if you think we should play with two strikers. It's certainly an option, and Bobby Wood is in great form. Josie is an experienced player. Jordan's speed is a factor, and Clint is obviously a dangerous player when he's on the field. So looking at those four players, one would think that we have to consider playing with two strikers as well. Waiting for our next question here. The question is, what went into the decision to not have Paul Arriola on your roster, and is he on your radar? And I would say this, Paul is playing very well for Tijuana. He was under consideration for this roster. He can play a variety of positions on the field. He's a good young talent. I think he's going to get strong consideration for June, and certainly for the Gold Cup this summer. This question is pertaining to an alignment. Certainly, there's a variety of ways of playing. I said with this roster, we can play anywhere with 3, 4, or 5 in the back. Clearly, I favor 4 in the back, but 3 is an option. Other question previously was, would you play with 2 strikers? So if you do the math, if you play with 4 in the back and 2 strikers, the alignment is somewhat of a 4-4-2 or a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-1-3-2. So those are going to probably be our options as we head into the Honduras game. Next question. David asks, what's your message to the team at the start of camp? The message is simply this. We got to bond, be a team, be supportive of each other, have good concentration during the week, and be excited to play on Friday. Next question. Elizabeth wants to know how your meetings with European bass players have gone. They've gone extremely well. I've had a chance to meet with every European bass player that's on this roster, visited them in either Germany or England, and they've responded very well. They're very excited about being a part of this roster and team, and I think they're going to blend in beautifully with our domestic players.
That's Bruce Arena, the head coach of the U.S. men's national soccer team, and he was speaking during a Facebook live chat. Meanwhile, Coach Arena has called San Jose Earthquakes goaltender David Bingham to the team's San Jose training camp. Bingham replaces Brad Guzan, who will miss the team's World Cup qualifiers, as he and his wife are expecting the birth of their second child in the coming days. Coach Arena also has injury concerns with Borussia Mönchengladbach midfielder Fabian Johnson, who appeared to suffer a hamstring injury in a Europa League match against Schalke. Johnson was expected to start for the USA in those World Cup qualifiers against Honduras and Panama. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Happy St. Patrick's Day, Andrew.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Sonny. You got the green on, I got some green on. It's the all-green Sunny Side of Sports show today.
Well, what's trending on this favorite Irish holiday?
Well, we got to do one of our themes, right, if it's St. Patrick's Day. So we got to talk about all things St. Patrick. So we'll start with the luck of the Irish. Of course, that's the phrase that you're going to hear a lot today throughout the day as St. Patrick's Day progresses. And the luck of the Irish was alive and well in the March Madness tournament yesterday. The first game of the tournament, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, nearly upset by the Princeton Tigers. It would have been a 12 seed taking down a 5, but they ended up besting them 60-58. So Notre Dame survives a scare there. And other than that, kind of kicking off the tournament and being a close upset, it was a pretty predictable day. There were a few upsets, but none that were unexpected. Middle Tennessee State University, which was a 12 seed, beat Minnesota as a 5 seed, but Middle Tennessee was actually favored to win that game. They said they had a better team, and Minnesota was seeded too highly. They had Xavier, number 11 seed, beating out local favorite Maryland, which was a 6 seed, but Xavier has always played well in the tournament. So you had it go pretty close to as people expected. And to that point, a little bit of luck out there filling in the brackets. Of the 18.8 million brackets completed on ESPN.com, there are only 154,283 that are still perfect after day one. So some lucky people that have still have a perfect bracket.
Lucky, perhaps some shamrocks in their pockets?
Maybe, something like that. But here's the thing. It sounds impressive that it's just less than 1% of the total number of brackets. 154,000 still perfect. After one day last year, there were only 14,525 brackets that were perfect. When you put it in perspective, maybe not so lucky, maybe some skill there, but hoping they can keep that luck rolling as the tournament progresses.
What else is trending on St. Patrick's Day, Andrew?
Well, of course, St. Patrick is well associated with Ireland, and another person very well associated with Ireland is none other than Conor McGregor, the great MMA fighter. And for a lot of people on social media today, it's not St. Patrick's Day. It's Conor McGregor Day. So I've seen a number of tweets where people said, Happy Conor McGregor Day. They wished him a happy St. Patrick's Day. I love this one tweet. Somebody said, I'm Irish on Conor McGregor fight nights. So everybody's a little bit Irish, even if you're not actually. But a lot of people also talking with Conor McGregor about this fight with Floyd Mayweather, wanting that to happen, really eagerly anticipating that. And to that point, we had a little bit of a meme that Conor McGregor created this week. He took a picture kind of from above, and it was his legs and his hand in a fist, and he said, "This left hand made me millions." Mm. Well, people ran with that and tried to recreate that picture, so they're posing with their left hand taking a photo. However, their left hand didn't necessarily make them millions. Someone wrote, "This left hand made me like $2. This left hand made me a quesadilla for dinner. This left hand spent $14 today on a burrito." There's a lot of food themes with the hand, spending $14 on a burrito. And then this one, referring to McGregor's hand, somebody tweeted out, they said, "This left hand is going to make Floyd Mayweather 49-1. So we'll see if that actually comes to fruition, but there is a lot of excitement about that on St. Patrick's Day today, of course, with the Irish Conor McGregor.
One similarity between McGregor and Mayweather, they both like to throw punches via social media.
Absolutely. So this might be, you know, it was kind of a joking post that he did, but it might be a warning shot to Floyd Mayweather saying, "This hand's made me millions and it's going to keep making me millions even if we go on to fight."
Any more sporty St. Patrick's Day trends, Andrew?
Yeah. So, of course, when we think of St. Patrick's Day, we talked about it as when I got on the air. You think of green. Everybody's wearing green today. So let's talk a little bit about the color green. And when you think of green in sports, you think of two sports in particular, tennis and golf.
So we'll start
with tennis. We talked about the BNP Paribas Open in Indian Wells and the big face-off later today between Roger Federer and Nick Kyrgios. Totally coincidental. They are playing on St. Patrick's Day, and both men have worn green throughout the entire tournament. So it'll be a battle of green on St. Patrick's Day in Indian Wells. Can't make that up. And then we turn to the golf course, specifically down at the Arnold Palmer Invitational in Orlando, Florida. American golfer Cody Gribble is out participating in the Invitational, and while he's out on the course, there's an alligator kind of straddling the green in a water hazard. Well, Gribble walks up, taps the alligator on the tail, it jumps into the water and swims off. This video has gone viral, people saying, "What were you thinking? Why would you go up to the alligator and even try to get near it, let alone smack it on the tail to get it out of the way?" So a lot of people saying he is crazy. Cody Gribble tweeted out, he said, "Gators need exercise too. No biggie, guys." So he's totally cool with it. He said, "Nah, I'm just doing my job, just clearing that hazard out of the way." You know, we talked about a couple weeks ago some new golf rules about clearing hazards. I'd say that's one way to clear a hazard out is smack an alligator on the tail and get it off the course.
That has to be, or at least I've never heard of that taking place in golf before, Andrew.
Nor have I, but you know what? The luck of the Irish was with them that day, I got to say.
Thanks, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Have a good weekend.
You too.
And that wraps up the March 17th St. Patrick's Day edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rashad Smith. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Over the past two decades, much of East Africa has suffered through recurrent droughts resulting in failed crops, dying cattle, and escalating food prices. The result is hunger, undernutrition, and suffering for millions of people. This year, the rains have been scant, more so than usual. This is exacerbating drought in the Horn of Africa, particularly in Somalia, Ethiopia, and Kenya, where around 15 million people are suffering from food insecurity as a result. The Famine Early Warning Systems Network, or FUSENET, which is funded by the U.S. Agency for International Development as well as the Food Security and Nutrition Analysis Unit for Somalia, are sounding the alarm in Somalia. They estimate that half of Somalia's population of 12.3 million people is facing hunger or starvation. The southern agricultural and pastoral areas and northeastern pastoral areas have been hardest hit. Over the past few years, food insecurity has been dropping in Ethiopia. The number of people requiring humanitarian assistance there has declined by half since late 2015. But as last year's October to December rains failed and drought conditions developed in the country's southern and southeastern regions, farmers and herders who had been unable to recover from the previous drought are once again in need of assistance. According to the government of Ethiopia and its relief partners, some 5.6 million people will need relief food assistance between January and December 2017. Kenya is also suffering from inadequate rainfall during both the March to May 2016 long rain season and the October to December short rain season. In some parts of northern Kenya, 70% of water sources are already dry and people are already suffering hunger. FuseNet projected in January that without sustained relief assistance, crisis-level acute food insecurity could occur in some drought-affected areas of Kenya in the coming months. So far this year, the United States government has committed more than $282 million for critical relief interventions in the Horn of Africa. We call on our global partners to join us in this effort.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, I'm your host Shaka Sali. Every Wednesday night, Voice of America's Straight Talk Africa puts you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they talk about the most important social and political issues that affect you.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss Africa land reform. The World Bank says that Africa needs to change its systems for buying and selling land. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 1830 UTC.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.